The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It looks like they're sticking with the same play with St. Brown going across the formation.
They are. Goff looking for him. Throwing for him. It is caught. He's in. Oh. Touchdown.
Now it's picked up. Now rolling out for the first time, and he throws an interception. It's picked off. All the way down and scoring for the Lions. It's Joseph.
Here is Gibbs.
First down and more. Gibbs in for the touchdown.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
When you're playing a good football team, you can't have those types of mistakes.
Putting the ball in jeopardy way too many times, and definitely something I have to clean up.
He's fighting, he's competing, and we know that we've got to take care of the football, but I don't question anything about what he's trying to do. We just got to do it better.
You know, like I said, obviously a disappointing game, been a couple of disappointing losses, but we are still a really good football team. And, I think some of the stuff is more self-inflicted, the mistakes and the penalties and the turnovers, all stuff that we can clean up.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all
no Todd Rundgren this morning, everybody.
Oh no! We suck again!
Well, I don't know if it's that dramatic. I don't know if we suck again. But we sucked yesterday. Packers lose to the Lions in a game that, you know, depending on which side of the coin you were on, you thought was a big game, you thought wasn't a big deal. But I think regret is going to be an overwhelming sentiment for the green and gold after yesterday's loss to the Lions. Why? I think he could have won that game, guys. I didn't think watching the game that the Lions were so much better. Are they better? Yes, they're better. Lions are better right now than the Green Bay Packers are. Just accept that. But the fact that you, Packers, were able to hold the offense to 17 points. We'll talk about the pick six that Jordan Love threw at the end of the first half. Don't you worry. We'll get to that. But they were averaging, guys, 40 plus. This is a team that was just absolutely dominating from an offensive standpoint week in and week out. Did the weather have something to do with that? Limiting them, of course, limited the Packers as well. Both teams had to play in the weather conditions.
Fastest first quarter in the history of football.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
No, I mean, it just felt like that.
Oh. I thought maybe that was
it took
a stat
like 20 minutes.
Seen.
No, it took like 20. It's 15 minutes in the quarter, and it took like 20 actual minutes to play.
I think the overwhelming theme of this game, and it is going to hang over because they got the bye, so you can't even flush it, Chew. You can't even like get back out there and have some performance to replace it with in your mind, is going to be regret. The Packers made so many mistakes, self-inflicted wounds in that game. I think it was a winnable game. They could have beaten a team that we all think is better than them and really put themselves in a good position in the division. Alas, you had the pick six. Alas, you had the penalties early on. Alas, you had the drops. And we will talk about all of those things as the morning goes on. But Chew, was there any part of you that thought that the Packers could have walked out of there with a win yesterday?
No. Nope. That's a better team. It's a more efficient football team. And you know what good football teams do? Make their opponents play like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they did. You know? Which is what they did. I just sit there and go, thank God that Hutchinson's out. Because if he was in there, I think it would have been uglier. Look, yes, offensively you can look at the numbers and stuff like that. But when you're up 24-3 on the road, in the rain, you just try to run the ball out. You just want the clock to... And the funny thing was, I almost felt as if the Packers were doing the same, throwing in the towel with the run when they're down 24-3 because they were still heavy with Josh Jacobs. And I'm like, what are they doing? They gotta move here. They got to score some points. So it's just an ugly... Look, the season's not over with. But anybody that can't say, yeah, Detroit is, what do you call it, Gabe, a click and a half better.
Yeah.
I don't know about a click and a half, but they're a click better. They're just a click better.
But are you telling me that when the score was 7-3 with a minute plus left in the first half, you weren't going, whoa, they're right there in this thing. They're this game. This is a winnable game. And then, Jordan, can we not? I love a guy, Gabe, who wants to make a play. I love that attitude. I would take that any day of the week. But you got to know when to hold him and when to fold him. And that was an instance where Jordan should have folded him or held him, and he chose to throw it to a defender that apparently he didn't even see.
Well, that was very obvious by watching the replay, because if he saw him there, he doesn't even try to make the throw that he attempted to make. I don't know.
Jacobs.
Like, yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, maybe they can steal it, but, I mean, they were just outplayed. I mean, Detroit scored on three of their first four possessions. You mix in the pick six, and, I mean, their fourth possession was that touchdown in the beginning of the third quarter, and it just didn't feel like the Packers could consistently move the ball against the Lions. Like, you take away the turnovers, take away the penalties, Chew. It just didn't feel like they could move it and score enough points after Detroit, you know, went down and scored that touchdown in the opening drive of the second half.
And the rush defense didn't feel as bad because Josh Jacobs was so good, you know? But you look at that Gibbs run. I mean, what are we reverting back to Joe Barry Carroll here? I thought the effort on that was terrible. And then, I mean, I got a good chuckle out of this. It was wonderful. Rashawn Gary can't even get to the quarterback when he's unblocked. Like, I'm watching that play. I'm like, why are you stuttering with your feet instead of just going balls to the wall and hitting Goff? I'm like, but it's just, what happened to, didn't Halfley say, we are going to stop the run on the way to the quarterback?
That is correct, sir. That is
where,
correct.
Are they holding that in their back wallet for the playoffs, or what are we doing here?
Well, again, I think part
because
of that,
because I can tell you this defense is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I like the secondary. I like the linebackers. I mean, have all sorts of questions about the front four.
Yeah.
They have just a bunch of guys in the front four.
Bit of a broken record here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy regarding the front four of the Green Bay Packers defense. Underwhelming, not doing enough, not holding up their end of the donkey, et cetera, et cetera. 800-990-3776 if you want to get your reaction into the game. Look, I think it was a winnable game. That's what I want to keep going back to, guys. I think the Packers could have walked out of there with a win. As I was watching the game,
What were they doing offensively that made you think they could move the football?
See, that's the thing. Like, there were passes. Some of those, that play that Jaden Reed made with his toes on the line where they're looking for blades of grass between his foot and the sideline, like, those plays existed. We can't just forget about the fact that they still are an explosive offense at times. And I do think, again, I'm going to caveat everything this morning with this, but the weather played a huge role in the ability to move the ball. I think they should have run the ball a little bit more given the weather conditions. But when you're down as much as you are after the pick six, then you got to make up chunk yardage. You got to make up those big plays. So I look at those types of plays, guys. I look at the drops by some of the wide receivers and go, well, that's uncharacteristic. Well, that's unusual. That's
it, though? They lead the league in drops. They're one of the leaders in, at this point, Jen.
Six in a game?
At this point?
Like, I can take the occasional drop and say, you're not going to make every single catch. But it was the volume, Gabe, that I'm saying was uncharacteristic.
They're one of the league leaders in drops. So that's part of who they are. And penalties are a part. I think we just have to accept that those are two things that are a part of who this team are. We're nine games into this thing. We're over halfway through. Like, those are defining characteristics of who the Green Bay Packers are in 2024.
And we got to stop anointing these players. Let's stop anointing Jordan Love. Okay? I mean, Amon St. Brown is the best receiver on that field by far.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By far. You know? Christian Watson, you're a nice receiver. You know? Wicks, you're nice. That's it. You know what nice players do? They drop the ball. They're not elite. I mean, Reed is trending towards maybe getting there, but these other guys, they're fine.
But again, Christian Watson, we have talked about how, you know, I don't want to sit here and say one trick pony because that's not fair to him, but we have talked about how his job is to catch the deep ball. Saw a couple of deep balls go to him yesterday, and now look, I could also make the argument that Jordan was not sharp. Jordan clearly hampered by that groin injury. Well, but I was saying, in the instance of Christian Watson missing on those deep balls, you know, one of them, they're making Christian go back like he's in the Matrix type of thing to make the catch. He obviously did not. Jordan was not sharp. He was definitely dealing with the groin injury. You saw him kind of jostling a little bit, especially headed into halftime. Apparently, LaFleur went to him and said, "You good?" Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about the injury and whether or not that played a role in Jordan Love's performance yesterday.
You know, the only time I thought he really looked hobbled was right at the end of the half. So I went up to him before we were, as we were going into that tunnel, and just said, just asked him if he was all right, if he could continue to go. And, you know, he's a competitor, and he's going to. And I talked to our medical staff and asked them if they had any reservations or concerns. And they were comfortable with it, so we let him go.
Chew, should they have not let him go?
I mean, he was clearly hampered, and it was bothering him. I don't know if it was just stiff, and I did see the, you know, the video of him coming off the field before the half where he was definitely had a hitch in his giddy up. But, I mean, Malik's not going to come back down. What were they, 17-3 at halftime?
17-3 at halftime, and then by the time they touched the ball for the first time, yeah, it was 24-3 by the time they touched the ball in the second half.
The game's done. The game's over with. Game's over with, especially in the rain like that.
Lions got the ball out of halftime?
Yeah, and took it down and scored. That's when the game was over. So
yeah, but again, you could make the argument that it was that one pick six because it's a one possession game. You know, and they're driving. That was a bad decision. Nobody's going to try to cover that up. We're not going to try to make that better than it was. That was a bad decision by the quarterback, hampered in bad weather. You got to just know to tuck that ball or throw it away.
Yeah.
You cannot be trying to make a play when things get messy like that.
But that's
on Jordan.
That's been a defining characteristic of his season. Every game he's played in, he's turned it over. Every single one.
But it's still it still would have been 17-3 in the third quarter because they took the ball and scored, went right down the field and scored.
Mm-hmm. So the defense does its job there to stop him, you could do 17-3. Yeah.
You can come back from 17-3 in crap weather like that. Yeah, I mean, it's an uphill task, but you can definitely come back. 24-3, I mean, you could shut the TV off the game.
800-990-3776. Again.
So Chewy just told us he did shut off the TV at
24-3. I didn't. I stuck.
You could have.
It's
an important
thing. Did you say you watched the full game, Chewy? Hey, buddy, by the way.
Well, I was in the pool on the TV outside. It was quite luscious. With a glass. I was going to send a picture just to rub it into you guys.
Sure.
But it was just...
Because it was, I mean, it was miserable yesterday, just with the rain and the wind.
And the time change. Everybody's off. The dog is asking for food an hour early. Yeah. We're going, what is your deal? Oh, you can't tell time.
You're not aware of how this whole time thing works.
You don't know that it's not feeding time for another hour. I guess we'll get up and take care of that. 800-990-3776. I think it was a winnable game for the Green Bay Packers, and they are going to be burdened with regret all week long. Are the Lions better? Yes, they're a better team. But on any given Sunday, you can beat a team that's better than you if you play clean football. And the Packers did not play clean football. And some of that is on the shoulders of Jordan Love, or dare I say the groin of Jordan Love. 800-990-3776. So are the Packers a bad team, or was it a bad day? You got the weather, you got the groin, you got the change at the center position. I do not want to undersell how significant that is when you move a guard over to play center because Josh Myers is out. That obviously affected the snap a number of times in the game. Are they a bad team or was it a bad day? 800-990-3776. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots to get to about the Green Bay Packers' loss yesterday to the Detroit Lions, who improved to 7-1. The Packers fall to 6-3. We roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So it looks like they're sticking with the same play with St. Brown going across the formation.
Looking for him. Throwing for him. It is caught, and he's in. Touchdown.
Packers lose yesterday to the Detroit Lions at a rainy, windy, chilly Lambeau Field. It looked like the fans were out in droves, although at the end of the game, a lot of the Lions fans, Gabe, had moved down towards the front of the bowl and made it seem like they had a pretty significant presence.
Oh, yeah. And look, if you were a Packers fan who left that game earlier yesterday, can't blame you. I'm somebody that wants to usually stay to the bitter end, but when your team is down, you know, 24-6 and it's raining and you're wet and it's cold and you're miserable, yeah, go, you know, hey, go to your car, find a warm, dry place. Let's just try to restart this thing back up in 2 weeks.
Chu, what do they do? What is the mindset going forward? As I mentioned earlier, you get not one, but 2 weeks to marinate on this sucker, which I always feel like, as an athlete, you want to get back out there as soon as possible to kind of get rid of the bad taste in your mouth, don't you?
Yeah, you go in today. You take your lumps. You watch the film. My guess is they'll practice Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday, and then cut them loose, try to recharge your batteries. But they got to clean it. I mean, if they can't see that the D-line just isn't good, then do you do something about it? Because I looked at all the players that we were talking about last week on other teams. They all played. Za'Darius played. The kid from Cincinnati played. Crosby played. Garrett played. So does that tell us that they're not going to make a move? You think Detroit, based upon yesterday's game, said we're good moving forward right here? I mean, would you trade for someone today?
Yes.
Would you trade for a DN?
I would trade for a DN. Yes. If there is somebody out there that I could trade for that can make this pass rush better, I am making that move today. Because
that's what's going to hold them back.
100%.
It just is. I don't care how good your back end is. I mean, we all like a nice back end, but, I mean, your back end can only do so much, you know?
Like what?
Because if you're walking away and you see a nice back end, you kind of want to see the front end.
All right, you get two strikes, the third one, you're out, pal.
What do you mean third? You were digging him. You were encouraging him.
All right, you do.
Yeah, you laugh.
Yeah, but so umpires laugh sometimes. They get it wrong.
But that's going to hold them back from wherever they want to go. Would you guys agree?
100%.
Yes, I 100% agree. Whomst should they go get?
Well, it's not going to be Za'Darius, right? We can all agree with that.
Yes, yes. The one name that is out there the most is not going to be a Green Bay Packer. Yes, I could not agree more on that.
And I also don't know if we should hang all of our hopes on them going and getting someone, right? Because Goody's not going to just go out and get someone to get someone. So sitting here and being like, the only thing that is going to make this better is going out and getting a pass rusher. And then if they don't go out and get a, you know, elite pass rusher or even an above average one, since we think that the elite ones are not going to be available, then you're going ho-hum. Well,
yeah, I mean, again, it's we talked about it a lot last week. Guys who can rush the passer rarely become available in the market, unless you're somebody like a Za'Darius Smith, who's kind of on the back end of the career and things aren't going well for the Browns. They got boat raced yesterday, so they look to unload some of the pieces that they can. Aziz Ojulari, a defensive, I guess he's an outside linebacker because they play a 3-4 in New York, but he's somebody, his name keeps coming up, but that's not even a three-down player. That's like a 240-pound third-down specialist.
So let me ask you this, Gabe. Do you let Detroit go do what they're going to do and not worry about it because you're not catching them? I mean, do you think you can still catch Detroit?
I mean, you're going to have to play some really damn good football over the last 8 games.
Well, like, didn't we get a graphic yesterday, Gabe, before I let you go any further, that said that the Packers have one of the toughest schedules remaining in the NFL? Maybe it was NFC. I got to pull it back up. But I believe there was some distinction of, like, it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, my guess is
because I looked at Minnesota. Theirs is easier. I looked at Tampa Bay, even though they have a tough one tonight against Kansas City. Their schedule gets easier because these are teams that we're going to be dealing with when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to have two. You're going to have two out of the East, Gabe. You're going to have at least two out of the North.
That's probably it.
There could be potential for two out of the South. Because Atlanta's schedule gets easier, too.
Yeah, but Atlanta's going to win that division. Tampa Bay is kind of showing us who they are. I mean, they're going to be 4-5 after. They're going to be 4-5 after tonight, right? Like, so for the Packers to catch, my guess, Chu, is for the Packers to catch the Lions, you have one loss, and it can't be to Detroit. Like, you can lose one more game to win the division, can't be two to Detroit.
800-990-3776, guys. Reaction rolling in fast and furious this morning. A lot of people frustrated with the performance yesterday by the Green Bay Packers at home. Sean says a pass rusher will help big time, but it is not the only answer. And this response from John in the 414 may be the best response we have ever gotten. Taking what Chewy said, putting it into a palatable, consumable, bite-sized little nugget. Ready, guys?
Yeah.
Is Chewy calling the Packers a butterface?
Well, because of what I was talking about with the back end?
Yeah. Got a nice back end, but you're not really sure happening in the front. Are you calling the Packers a butterface?
I don't want to promote this.
I was talking about lower than the face.
Okay, that made it worse. I don't want to promote this.
Yeah.
Because however, when you have,
Chewy, hold on.
Like,
I'm trying to give you a compliment.
Right,
shut up.
Go ahead.
I have to play it.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
It is what he was saying. Again, I don't want to condone this. That's strike 7, I think, already.
724.
But,
we're like the Packers with penalties and drops by this point.
So we got a case of the
Let me ask you this, though. Why am I getting in trouble?
Because I'm
and
back.
I didn't even bring up the face thing.
Wait, how are you getting in trouble first?
Yeah. Well, we've the
I
only
just
thing...
said the back end. I said the back end is very nice.
He gave you a chewy.
The front end.
Who keeps dinging these comments?
I know.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem like you're in trouble.
We got to find the guy who did this.
Who's doing this?
It doesn't really seem like you're in trouble if you're being encouraged to do it.
And complimented. Thank you very much. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Mo, Illinois. Let's go out to Mo in Illinois, who wants to talk about the Packers' lack of passion. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, there's a lot that went wrong with this Packers team yesterday. And, you know, Jordan Love's decision-making continues to be abysmal. He better figure it out coming off of the bye week, because if this team has any chance to accomplish what they want, it all starts with our quarterback that got paid this offseason, and he needs to live up to expectations. Healthy or not, he needs to get healthy, and he needs to take care of the football. I'm so tired and sick of seeing all these turnovers. That pick six was just horrific. That was terrible. But what really frustrates me the most about this Packers team, a few things. First, I think they have one of the most overrated home field advantages in pro sports. You know, you have a dome team in the Detroit Lions who are built to play in inclement weather like this, but you have them coming into your home for the third straight year and embarrassing you. And they seemed like they were unbothered, unaffected by the conditions, whereas the Packers, who should be used to playing this weather, seemed so affected. I mean, they couldn't catch a ball to save their life. You had players that just seemed out of it. Even Jordan Love on the sideline looks like he wants to go to bed. Like, it was just so odd seeing, like, the Packers struggle in these conditions. And then the last thing I want to say is this. I am very, very frustrated as a fan when I see Amon-Ra St. Brown coming in with a sweatshirt saying Green Bay sucks. I'm seeing, you know, Lambeau Field looking like Ford Field out there in Honolulu blue, chanting Jared Goff and chanting Green Bay sucks in your own stadium. And then you have a Lions player that there was like a clip on Twitter surfacing of a Lions player trying to roll like Jordan Love's ankle or something. And, you know, I played left tackle in high school. And truly, I don't know what the lineman coaches say in the NFL, but I was always taught if somebody messes with your quarterback like that, you rip their head apart. Mm-hmm. You do not let them do that. So I didn't see the Packers respond in any way to that, and that was disgusting. They need to toughen up. They're Charmin Ultra Softs right now. They better toughen up because the Lions don't fear them, and they don't take them serious right now.
He's right. That is good. When we went into, you know, back when I played, and it was it, like the San Francisco game we played the year we won the Super Bowl where it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in there, and we knew we were going to win before the game even started because we're like, we love this stuff. This is us. He is right.
To a certain extent, because you want to know why, Chewy, you guys were so good and had a great home field advantage at Lambeau?
Because we were good?
Because you were one of the best teams in the league, man. Like, it turns out Lambeau Field wasn't much of a home field advantage in the 70s and 80s, and it was in the 90s and 2000s because you guys were really damn good. The Lions are just better than the Packers right now. And that's a big reason why they were able to come into Lambeau Field and do what they did yesterday. They are, their quarterback's playing better. Like, what facet of the game right now are the Packers playing better than the Detroit Lions?
I would have said the secondary, but I think I saw a stat that said that they're, the guy who caught the interception, mm-hmm. now he might be a linebacker. Who was the
No, it was Kirby Joseph. Kirby He's Joseph. A safe, safety.
Yeah. Then their secondary, I think he tied Xavier McKinney mm-hmm. for the number of picks that McKinney's had this season. So you could argue that he's playing at an even level of McKinney.
Yeah.
And we've thought that he has been, you know, taking the league by storm.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Lions, there's no advantage right now for the Packers. The Lions are just better across the board. Their quarterback's playing better. They have one of the best receivers in the league in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Their line protected Jared Goff very well yesterday. I guess maybe their front four is slightly better than what the Packers are offering, but there's no advantage the Packers have over the Lions right now, and that's why the Lions did what they did.
990-3776. Guys, we have a ton of reaction rolling in. This tends to happen when a team underperforms and loses a game to a division rival. Let's see. Buzzy from Beloit says, challenges, yes, but once a touch of doubt enters the brain, it obviously has an impact. I would like to get X's feedback. They came out bullying right away. They play tougher than we do with an attitude that we don't seem to possess. That is very similar to what Mo was just saying on the call. Craig in the 443 says, if Williams and Jair are out there, it would have helped. Nixon can't cover their number one. Goody needs to be on the phone today and tomorrow with everything on the table. And Jen needs the toad sound, LOL. Why am I a toad? Because I said it was a winnable game. I haven't said the Packers were better. I don't think that they are. But sometimes you beat teams. Go ahead, Chu. I'm just saying, sometimes you can beat teams that are better than you if you play well. They didn't play well, but it was still 10-3 with just over a minute left in the first half.
And you can't use the injury thing because everyone's got them. Look, they were playing without Jameis Williams, and then their starting safety goes out with the targeting mm-hmm, hit. Mm-hmm. So you can't use that. I'm sorry.
And I would have said you should have taken advantage of that, right? The Packers should have seen that, and that should have been a huge advantage for them, and then you take advantage of that guy being out with the penalty. Don saying, again, the Packers beat themselves. Stupid penalties at the worst time. The same bad decisions by a hurting QB who did not give us our best chance to win. They have no fire inside naturally, it seems. That is the worst thing, a team can have. That from Don in Mayville. 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction. It's interesting, guys, because it appears as though a lot of people on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. And remember, you can watch the show on our YouTube stream as well. Lots of stuff there. I will get to that in the next segment of the show. But people are talking about how last year the Packers were the youngest team in the NFL. I believe they are still down there, added a few pieces, but not enough to bump them significantly in those rankings. The youth showed up yesterday. You know, last year we were like, wow, they're really young, but they're still playing really, 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 really well. Yesterday they looked like a young team, Gabe.
Yeah. I think that might still, we'll look in the break. I think they still might be the youngest team in the league.
Yeah, 25 years, .11 fake years.
McManus may have brought that up because now they've got two guys over the age of 30 on the roster.
He sucked too yesterday. I got some for him.
Yeah, he had a miss yesterday that was makeable.
Yeah, it's always.
I don't know. But don't you have to package this game with Minnesota and say, look, you played two division rivals and you sucked. Even though, you know, they came back and battled back against Minnesota, great. But they were down 28-0. Right?
Yeah. Just like they were down 24-3 here.
I mean, did we really believe that they were fourth in the power rankings last week? Did we really believe?
I did. I thought they were a top five team.
No, they're not.
Top 10 team.
They're not. They're top 10, and they're closer to 10 than they are 5.
Yeah,
because I just
like
went
seven
through
or
it.
Eight,
look,
something like
but
that.
Hold on, but Buffalo's better, Baltimore's better, Pittsburgh's better, Kansas City's better, Atlanta's better, Minnesota's better, Detroit is better, Philadelphia's better, and Washington's better.
I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't want to look at one bad game yesterday and say that this is a bad team. Jordan was hurt. The weather was bad. They were without some key players, including Josh Myers at the center position. Jair, obviously. We will continue talking about that. Chu, I think you're absolutely right, though. We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Can the Packers catch the Lions in the division? Is it even possible? Do you see a route? Do you see a path where they could do that? We'll talk about that as the show rolls on. Gabe?
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe, bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue has dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, the VIP deck, and a broadcast booth, which of course is where we do weekly wager each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7. The giant video wall, though, is the star of the show. It's over 2,000 square feet large, and you can watch all of the games at once. They have figured it all out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee Sportsbook.
And it's Jacobs. Little step. Oh, there's nobody home. Josh Jacobs. Still going, and he's inside the 40. Finally, Joseph brought him down. But Jacobs, what a start for him. He picks up 37.
It's weird because I thought we might have seen a little bit more of Josh Jacobs in the game yesterday, just given the weather conditions. But again, as you get down big, multiple scores, and you got to go to the air. And Jordan Love, it appeared to me, was hobbled. He was hampered. He was not himself. And Chu, I can't help but wonder if at some point they should have gone to Malik Willis. Again, the game plan changes. But with Malik, you would have been running the ball more ostensibly, theoretically, and given the weather conditions, would that have been a bad thing to maybe a halftime pivot to the backup quarterback because Jordan was clearly not 100%?
No. I mean, when you're down 24-3, you really got to abandon the run and just start airing it out. I mean, there's not enough time in the game. No, I would have left. I mean, you got to trust the player because those are... I mean, like you said, the weather stunk. He probably couldn't get it loose. They weren't fearful of him tearing it or anything like that. But, and we talked about it last week, what percentage would we take Malik if Jordan was seriously hurt? What do you think Jordan was, though? 85?
Yeah, 90? Probably somewhere around there.
In my opinion, with it decreasing as the game went on.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it was stiff. I'm sure the pick six didn't help. I'm sure that stiffened it up a little more. But no, I think it was the right decision. As long as he said he was good to go, I would have stuck with him because I don't think Malik would give them a chance to come back from 24-3.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. If he says he's good, he's your starter, he's your guy, your training staff is good with it, then you roll with it. Like, there's no dissenting voice between the player or the training staff. As a head coach, I don't think you really had any other option. Jordan's your guy. You stick with your guy.
I think this team just has two elite players on it right now.
And they're the two they brought in free agency?
Yeah. Would you agree?
I mean, I want to disagree, but I don't know how I logically can.
I mean, you have to give some love to the O-line, though, don't you?
I mean, they shuffled around, and they held up for the most part yesterday.
And they rushed the ball pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, maybe you call Elton Jenkins elite and Zach Tom's
pretty good.
Pretty well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. None of those receivers are really jumping out, even though Watson had more grabs, but it was just nothing special. You know, he was much more special last year playing his 9 games than he was this year. I don't know why that is. Because there's really no deep threat.
We also have some criticism, Chu, rolling in about Jair, saying that he's never available for the big games when the team needs him most. Is that fair criticism or just a product of frustration from the loss?
Yeah, that's kind of his MO. As soon as he goes on to any kind of report, the medical report, he doesn't play.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a guy who's going to play at anything less than like 95 or 100%. Yeah. I think that's a fair criticism. I mean, he was available to them for the big games last year. I mean, other than the self-inflicted wound of being suspended after the Carolina game, but he played in the season finale, played in the playoff games. But yeah, when he's injured, if he goes through, he's 100% right. If he goes on that injury report and he's listed as questionable, I don't expect him to play.
No.
The reaction rolling in, guys, is obviously, as expected, negative this morning. Noah says Packers have zero tempo or urgency. Even when down big, they use the entire play clock. It's absurd. What happened to a no-huddle offense? That might be a fair criticism also, is that, like, you're trying to make up ground. You're trying to be efficient, and yet running the clock down. At one point, I think Matt LaFleur had to call a timeout. That might have been in the first half, if I'm remembering correctly, but they didn't have the play in. He's got to burn a timeout because clearly they were unprepared for that situation. And I asked Ashton, because I'm noticing here on the box score, the thing that jumps out, of course, is the QBR for Jordan Love of 31.1. QBR, of course, weighted to take into considerations and to take into consideration scenarios of the game. Where does that rank, Ashton, in the quarterbacks who took the field this weekend?
Of 30 quarterbacks so far taking the field, Jordan Love ranked 24th ahead of Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, CJ Stroud, Geno Smith, Caleb Williams, and Joe Flacco. Only Kyler Murray on that list got a win, and he played like garbage yesterday also. So he was 24th.
Yeah, he didn't play well enough. He has to play better. And again, a lot of that is the turnovers for him. Some of the drops certainly hurt. If some of those drops become completions, I'm sure that number ticks up. But I'm guessing the QBR numbers really hurt with the situational pick six during the two-minute drill. I'm guessing, again, nobody knows how QBR is actually, like, nope, ESPN's never released their formula, so it's tough to know. But I'm guessing the pick six in a two-minute drill is bad.
We put it on the poll, are they going to catch Detroit? And Ryan weighs in saying they don't catch Detroit barring a Jared Goff injury. The team looks like the youngest team in the NFL with a second-year starting QB, undisciplined, too many penalties, and self-inflicted wounds. The only positive is that they look like this last year at this point. Plenty of time to get it right, which is true. I mean, last year, didn't they have three wins by this point in the season? And we were going, oof, youngest team in the league, really playing like the youngest team in the league. And here they have double that at this point. That should be, I don't know, Chew, a little bit of optimism, right? The fact that they have six wins at this point this year. They could go 5 and the math and still get 11 wins this season.
Yeah, which I think they will.
Let's
not forget that they had one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. And, you know, I just looked at Atlanta's. Yes. Atlanta's is pretty easy, you know. They might have two tough games in there, but I think they got Carolina twice or something like that. They got some tough games. And I don't feel great about the Bears.
I mean, the Bears can't move the football, Chew. Like, they just can't. They cannot move the football.
All right, what's the line?
I mean, the line's not going to be out because the Bears have a game.
No, but I'm just saying right now, what's the line?
Probably Packers by 3.
You think so?
Yeah, because the Bears are going to be 5-4 at best. We'll see what they do against New England this week, but I'm not that
Niners,
frightened.
You're going to have McCaffrey back for the Niners.
Maybe.
You know, they're dangerous. Tua's going to be back for the Dolphins.
And he hasn't been playing great since he's been back.
I'm just saying, they it's not a walk in the park. Seattle looked okay against, they went into overtime against the Rams yesterday. The Rams are a different team with their two receivers.
Correct.
We can agree with that.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, I see 3 losses in there. I mean, you got to go to Minnesota, you got to go to Detroit again, and then you got a handful of tough ones.
I think the point it's that they were making to 11, was... is 3 losses in there would put them at 6 losses. That means 11 wins. They'd be 11-6.
Yeah, 11-6 is going to be a wild card.
Where does that put you in the standings?
I mean, you'll be a wild card
on the road?
Yeah, 100%.
On the road.
Yeah, because the only way you get a home game is if you win the division.
And I think we think that might be out the window.
Yeah, I mean, if you are thinking 11-6 for the Packers, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Lions are not losing 5 more games. To get to 11-6.
That's why it's not catchable.
Let's go out to the phone lines. But Greg, in Germantown is waiting patiently on the line. Chew 800-990-3776. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning. I keep on hearing the excuses of, you know, Jordan Love, our D-line, which is all legitimate challenges that the Packers have. But I'm just curious on when we're going to start holding Matt LaFleur accountable. We talk about them not coming out, punching the lines out in the face, coming out. Well, that starts with the coach. And we see this day in and day out when they have big games, is that they are not prepared. they don't execute, and that starts with Matt LaFleur, and we keep on giving them a pass. Last year was the defense coordinator, right? So now this year the defense is not playing well. Well, it's look at the offense. I mean, that offense did not move that ball. And that starts with the play caller, which is LaFleur. But for some reason, we always give that guy a pass. And I'm just curious when we're going to start holding him accountable.
That is true. I mean, he's got to get him ready to play, especially in crappy weather. It just looked yesterday like Detroit was having, you know, and obviously they were up on the scoreboard, but it just looks like they're having more fun. And from an efficiency standpoint, they were much more efficient, you know?
Yeah,
they,
I mean,
they were playing yesterday like, well, our quarterback's hurt. I hope it goes well.
I don't think that the beginning of the game was an issue yesterday. They came out, they had a great drive, 14 plays. Yes, it ended up in just a field goal, but they started off great. They had an opportunity to stop Detroit for a field goal. Guy jumped offside. Mm-hmm. Then they have, you know, they follow that up. They're in a good position. They're facing a 3rd-and-3, false start. And now puts you in a 3rd-and-8. You can't pick it up. You're in no man's land with it windy and wet and rainy, so you can't really attempt a field goal. You take the delay game penalty and punt it away.
I just don't want to be a rudderless ship at this point, Chu. I don't want to be a rudderless ship that is at the mercy of the waves and the prisoner of the moment. Yes. We were talking several weeks ago about how Matt LaFleur should be coach of the year based on what he was able to do with Malik Willis under center, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I agree. But yesterday didn't feel flowy. It didn't feel flowy.
Flowy is one of our favorite words here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're new to the
you
program,
got flowy arrogance. That's what you have.
I mean, by Seattle, they have to be humming.
Yeah.
And that's 5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
I should have brought the count.
They're not humming right now. They're not humming. And I've resigned to the fact that, like, I mean, the only thing you can think for them going a deep run into the playoffs is this offense has to score 30-something points, because when you get to the playoffs, you're playing good teams. The D-line is what it is, you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel great. I'm not throwing in the towel. I mean, we measure ourselves here by championships, and I do not see this. It's a good team. It's not elite.
No.
It's not elite.
800-990-3776. Ricardo from Canada says, man for man, I would not take the Lions roster over ours, but their coaching staff is platinum. Dan has this team playing mistake-free and mature football. Green Bay is still making way too many mistakes, penalties, and drops. Agree, Ricardo, on too many mistakes, penalties, and drops, but I guess I point to the players for those specific mistakes, not the coaching staff.
It's a really good roster.
800-990-3776. I hate to sound like a broken record, Guy from Staten Island says, but in that weather conditions with Jordan Love's groin injury, I still think Malik Willis would have given us a better chance of winning that game. Thank you very much. And Mike from Racine says, I'm not stressing this loss. We battled and outgained them significantly in yards, but we were bad in the red zone. The drop balls on third down, a pick six, missed field goal, costly penalties against a good team will not allow you to win. It's not like they got thrashed and couldn't move the ball at all. This was a winnable game as far as I'm concerned. 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction all morning long, and we will continue talking about the Green Bay Packers' loss to the Detroit Lions. Football season is back, and I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink. It fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Drink Celsius like me, college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milrow, Dylan Gabriel, and more. Explore all 27 refreshing flavors. I like the peach vibe. It is my go-to. It is the OG. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other flavors out there that I don't enjoy, especially the sparkling cherry cola flavor. Yum. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The
that
last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sure that your freezer is always stocked up with Palermo's Pizza, because they have so many different brands, maybe you don't even realize some of those brands that fall under the Palermo's umbrella. Obviously, you know Palermo's, we talk about Screaming Sicilian a lot, but Urban Pie, Connie's, and from the hit Netflix series Stranger Things, Surfer Boy Pizza, find them all. Stock up your freezer. Look, you're going to kick back, watch some of the great sports that are on. College hoops starts up tonight. You're going to want pizza. You're going to watch sports. They go together great. Find them in your grocery's frozen food aisle, Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
No, I feel fine.
Did it bother you at any point during the course of the game, though?
No, I was fine. I feel good.
If you watched the entire Jordan Love press conference, every inquiry made about his groin or a potential injury that was hampering him was met with a shorter and shorter and shorter response.
I mean, that's just lies what he did. He stood up there and lied.
Yeah, at least he owns it, though. I like that.
He owned the lie?
You're going to lie hard, you know?
I mean, I got yeah. eyes.
If you're going to lie, lie short, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah.
I got eyes, Jordan. I could tell that it was bothering you at some different points. Like, that you limited, and there's no shame in that, but you were limping around after the interception. I don't know how you can't say it wasn't bothering you. But again, you played through it. You've got my respect. Just, I don't know why you got to lie about it.
I mean, I respect you.
You don't need to lie to me about it.
I didn't like how you played, but I respect the hell out of you going out there. And look, there is some of that as well. I think he felt pressure to be out there. This was the biggest game on their schedule. And I think he felt like, hey, if I'm the leader of this team, if I got that big contract in the offseason, shoe, I think he probably felt like I can't be on the pressure. Sideline for that. I think he felt pressure, yeah. You know, it's interesting because the difference, and I told you guys headed into the week, I didn't think he was going to play, and I was basing a lot of that on the data point of how he and his representation handled the previous injury earlier this year, where the internal word was that coaches and people inside 1265 thought he could have gone, and his side sort of dug their heels and said, no, he's not ready. He's not good enough to go. And again, if he felt that way at the time, more power to him. He's allowed to say that. But I was using that situation to sort of base my perception of this situation, which is why I didn't think he would be out there. And then I saw the weather report and was like, nope, no chances people throw him out there. I think he felt pressure to be out there for his team in a huge divisional game, Chew. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. He's just got to keep this from being a nagging injury throughout the season. And he's going to have, like we said, 2 weeks to address it, get it healthy, and hopefully he's 100% by the time the Bears run around.
I just don't think you can be. I think the groin is one of those things. Hanging around.
Check. He'll be fine. Gabe, it's fine.
Yeah, you got 2 weeks to rest that bad boy up.
Can you see Gabe's face? He doesn't think he's fine.
No, Gabe does. That was the worst sell job. You talk about lying.
My face was more about Jen's.
It's only a lie if you believe that it's a lie.
My face
or whatever Costanza said.
Yeah. Jen, you need to work on the Teddy KGB.
I mean, out of nowhere? Come on, that was decent.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of curve are we grading on here?
Yeah.
Well, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We grade everything on
here. That's a great point.
That's about as good as the Packers were yesterday.
Boom. You roasted. Take that back right now.
I'm sorry, I roasted you.
You take that back right now.
Boom.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. We'll see if Gabe will be here.